You're tuned to City Cafe. I'm Kate Sweeney in for John Lemley. Martin Goldsmith is the former host of the show Performance Today, but he's also a writer of nonfiction. For his latest book, Alex's Wake, Goldsmith headed to Europe to retrace the journey of his grandfather and his uncle. Both were passengers on the ill-fated SS St. Louis. The ship was supposed to transport 900 German Jewish refugees to freedom, but was repeatedly denied port, first in Cuba, then in the United States, and then in Canada. Goldsmith's relatives ended up in France and finally at Auschwitz. He began a conversation with John Lemley by explaining why the United States refused the passengers' entry.
I'd love to know about why President Roosevelt turned the ship away.
President Roosevelt, in June of 1939, was already beginning to think about what would be his unprecedented third attempt at the White House. And he certainly didn't want immigration issues to get in the way of his campaign. There is also the unmistakable, though sad, fact that the United States was something of an anti-Semitic country at the time. This was the era of restricted access to hotels and country clubs for Jews. There's also the fact that the United States officially was under the law of the 1924 Immigration Act. There were quotas for various countries, and the argument put forth was that, well, if we let these 900 Jewish refugees just land in Miami, the 900 potential refugees from Germany would be sent to the back of the line. So the St. Louis sailed back to Europe. Luckily, a deal was brokered by a Morris Troper, who was connected to the American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee, and he brokered a deal whereby the refugees on board the St. Louis would be allowed to land in one of four countries: England, France, Germany, or Belgium. My uncle and grandfather got off in France, and thus began their three-year odyssey through France, which my wife and I then followed 3 years ago.
This had to be especially heartbreaking, that they come so far across the Atlantic seeking freedom. It looks like it's within their grasp, only to turn back, and of course the tale's ending is horrifying.
It was very difficult, John, and during the six-week, 5,700-mile journey that my wife and I took, we began in the little village where my grandfather Alex was born, a little village called Sachsenhagen. And we went from there to Oldenburg, where he had a very successful women's clothing store, where he was arrested on the night of Kristallnacht in, well, just about exactly 76 years ago now, on November the 9th, 1938. He was released with the understanding that he had 6 months to leave the country, which is why he booked passage on the St. Louis in 1939. We traveled to Hamburg from where the St. Louis sailed in 1939. We then sort of drove across the Low Countries to meet up metaphorically with Alex and Helmut when they landed in Boulogne-sur-Mer in June of 39, and then finally Auschwitz. It was a very difficult journey for me and for my wife. We, after all, were driving down lovely French roads in an air-conditioned car, stopping in nice hotels, eating French food, and all the while I was very aware that my grandfather and uncle, whose journey we were retracing, were making those same journeys, often at the point of a gun or in a crowded boxcar. And I had very strong feelings of guilt oftentimes throughout the journey.
Was this really sort of at the heart of your reason for making the journey?
It was, John. I had realized that my father always carried this great burden of guilt with him, that he hadn't managed to save his brother and his father. And unknowingly, and certainly not meaning to, I think my father passed that guilt on to me. And one of the reasons I felt I really needed to follow in the footsteps of my grandfather and uncle is that I had this totally irrational, but nevertheless very real desire to try to save them, even though they had both been murdered 10 years before I was born. I think by the end of the journey, which had sort of a postscript, when we returned to Oldenburg and put up a plaque on the house where my grandfather had lived, which had been stolen from him from the Nazis in 1932, and where the plaque now resides today, proclaiming that the businessman Alex Goldschmidt had once lived in that house, I realized that those burdens of guilt and shame that I'd carried for so long had largely vanished. And so I really felt that my journey was very much worthwhile.